Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged to be able to have you, our audience, watching and listening to us around the nation, around the world, around the Gulf Coast of the Emerald Coast, right? The Gulf Coast of Florida and Mississippi and Alabama. And every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m., don't forget, we'll be there. But also our radio audience around the nation, around the world. And just thank you for joining us. Today is going to be very encouraging. Our goal is to be able to bring light into a dark situation. You think about it, you know, Jesus said, the light shines in darkness, but the darkness doesn't even comprehend it. Mm. But if you're children of the light, you know, if you're a believer, I mean, this is, VFN TV is there to bless you and to be able to encourage you. And what often is some dark times that are going on. And because as it gets darker, remember, you get lighter and our Lord is soon to return.
That's
a very encouraging thing. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And John Ramos.
Hello.
What's going on,
man? Hey, man, I'm excited.
Why did they put your chair so much lower than Pat's?
I don't know.
Like I'm going all the way down.
I think Pat had something
plan.
To do with that.
Yeah, is that not a plan?
That's a strategy, but I'm glad it's unfolding. It's coming to the light.
They don't realize you're like 7 foot tall.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know what's up with that.
I just like to sit lower.
Kind of balance it out.
Yeah.
So he can actually see over his monitors.
I need you to check this out.
I just realized that.
Yeah.
I just realized that.
Investigate that.
You know, I try not to say anything. I just try to go with the flow. But now, you know, thank you. Thank you.
Right.
No problem.
Well, getting back to other things, then I just realized it because I'm kind of looking at this side of the studio and then I kind of go down over here and
there
look. You know, he needs all the help he can get.
Yes.
Put some lifts under them wheels.
Yeah. Hydraulics. Do what you got to do.
Hydraulics, man.
Do what you got to do.
No. Do you know the Lord is doing some pretty awesome things? And we're going to be talking today, a small part of what we're going to be in our program today, about understanding, you know, you hear people talk about church planting, and then you hear people talk about, well, no, you don't hear about people, but you hear Jesus talk about just making disciples, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how you can hear this intensity about church planting. Let's go plant some churches, which quite often in American mindset means, you know, $1.3 million budget, a basic core staff, an intense marketing campaign, and an intense hope that, you know, you're going to fill a building.
Right.
Versus, you know, changing the verbiage of what God says the church is and then understanding making disciples. It's pretty encouraging. You know, if you have not yet gone to Multiply Movement, you need to go and begin to just this journey of discipleship with Francis Chan and David Platt. We'll be talking about that. And it'll encourage you, too, because quite often you're right in the middle of success. But somebody's redefined success for you, and you're thinking, "Oh man, I'm not a $1.3 million church plant. Maybe this is not, you know." And it's like, God never called us to plant churches. He called us to be the church. Church means called out ones, and we'll talk more about that in the future. And then what happens was we'll talk about is the church happens when we make disciples. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we need a gathering place. We need a thing. It's not, they're not wrong, but not the other way around. Yeah,
right?
They're a byproduct. It's not the tail wagging the dog.
Exactly.
It's the dog wagging the tail. Also, you know, we're celebrating during this time, Israel's celebrating, that the 1967, you know, Six-Day War. And it was a war that was a prophetic moment because it says the land of Israel, Jerusalem, will be trampled under the feet of the Gentiles, which are the non-Jews, until this day comes. And guess what? In 1967, during a forced war that Israel had to be in, they ended up taking Jerusalem back. Mm. And the famous words we'll be talking about, which was the key epic center of the fulfillment of that, is when one of the generals cries out, "The Temple Mount is in our hands."
Wow.
But that's, I mean, if when you're reading the Word of God, that means we just moved past that prophecy. That prophecy just got fulfilled.
Wow.
It's just huge when you think of it. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, very exciting.
You know, what's this? We have homeless children in
yes.
How many homeless children are there?
2.5 million homeless children right now in the country. And I think a lot of times people, you know, often overlook that we have a serious issue going on and something that needs to be addressed and something that needs to be concerned. But they say that the overwhelming statistics on why the children are you know, they're homeless. They're living in not humane conditions. When we get to this segment, we'll talk more about that. But, I mean, we really want to be sure we pray for them and understand what's really happening, the story behind the story, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we get a chance to talk about this as well. And if not, we'll talk about it. You'll catch us on our next program. But, you know, when you look at people, do you look at them as a source or a soul? It's amazing how many people, I don't know if you know what a leech is, but a leech is something when you go swimming, you didn't expect to have them. And then they hook themselves to you. In the Gulf of Mexico, they call them suckerfishes. And, you know, they suck on the bottom of a shark or a whale or something. And they just kind of, and they're kind of taking a ride. And they're looking for that shark. They're looking for that whale. They're looking for that person, you know, for a source. You know, and a leech is sucking the blood. Literally, mm-hmm. It's a blood sucking thing. And we think about it. And and when I look at society today, hopefully get a chance to talk about this, because as believers, we are called to look at people as souls. And God is our source. Mm-hmm. God is our source. Think about that. I mean, think of how have you been looking at your husband and say, be my source? You know, have you been looking at your wife? It's like, you're not my source. You need to be a better source for me. You've been looking at your kids or your parents or the government or some organized religion and say, be my source. Maybe your job. And then all along, all these people that you're demanding to be your source, their very souls are weighing in the balance. And if nobody tells them, their souls will not be in the presence of God in eternity, but they'll be separated from God in hell. What would that be like for us? That's what we want to ponder. What would that be like for us when we're standing before God and all we did was see human beings as sources to meet our needs? Physical, emotional, financial, just, you know, basically, I guess, putting yourself as God. And everybody just kind of bows down to whatever, you know, you want that makes you happy. And you never realize that that's the image and the likeness of God. Mm-hmm. And that... it's not going to be good. I would assume if you stood as God, you know, based on scripture that, I don't know, you could use Lucifer as an example. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wanted his throne, right? Mm-hmm. And he saw what God wanted. He wanted what God had. He was going to ride what God was doing, but he wasn't going to have God as his God. And you got cast down. You think, well, that's just Lucifer. Then you go to the disciples when Jesus is going. They're coming back. They go, my goodness, did you see what we did? We just prayed for somebody and they were healed. And you know, we just cast out this demon that was on this person. And they're having this, you know, talk around the, mm-hmm. you know, around the Starbucks. No, at the fireplace, mm-hmm. whatever, the fire. Hey, wherever it is. And Jesus goes, hey, don't celebrate that demon's listening to you.
That's right.
You know, Lucifer had that mindset because I'd given him something and he looked to it as a source, is what he's really saying. He looked at the manifestation and then he said, you know, he wanted that glory is what it was. Mm-hmm. And he says that he was thrown down, struck down from heaven. And he's like, can you imagine that? We just get back from this huge ministry, you know, fruitful time and you're excited and you're talking. And there goes Pat reminding us that, hey, remember, this is about Jesus. You rejoice when somebody tells you that, because he says, this is what Jesus said. That's what happened to Satan. He missed it. Mm. And he said, this is what you should rejoice in, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is the moment. You're going to be with the source forever, the source of everything. Everything was created by him before. So we'll talk about that, because what I see today in America, you know, contractual agreements are about, you know, I want you to be my source. And, mm-hmm. you know, marriages are about, you know, I feel half, you know, my life is gone, so I want you to be the source to my other half. And so then you spend your whole life trying, because you can't do that, people resenting you for not being what God to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And and so it's like, you know, it's because we're looking to everybody but God, to Jehovah Jireh, which is our source. You know, that's the whole, I mean, you think about Jehovah Jireh when, but remind me, we're going to talk about Jehovah Jireh when we talk about that, because that's when everything is laid down. When we lose everything, it looks like God's asking us for everything. Understand, he is our source. He really is. He's a merciful source, because he even gives us air to breathe. when we use the choice of words that dishonor him. He gives us a heart that beats when we even choose to hold resentment and bitterness towards his very himself or from others that are made in his image and his likeness. Against it, whatever we do, the least of these we do to him is just like, and he allows us to live. And it's like, how, think about if David understood it, because David said, how could I, I committed this against sin against you and you only. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get that as so freeing, you know. Mm-hmm. But I watch people, I mean, brand new believers, or people that are almost believers, I mean, they're being drawn in. You can tell that God's just stirring their heart and he's doing things in this life to show himself mighty. And all of a sudden, a Christian looks at them as a source and grabs a hold of them and goes, and just begins to suck the little bit they had out of them, or sees them for what they were when they were in the world. And all of a sudden, they never make it into the kingdom of God. Mm. But at least I had somebody to do this for me. You know, the whole thing is how's that going to weigh out in heaven? And so we got to remember, everybody that you fellowship with, all the believers in your gathering and in your community, that it, you know, it's honor. Honor is the key. Just honoring. I'm serious. Just look for ways to honor. And you don't want to. God is an ultimate source. He can provide. He does provide. But we got to actually, as he says in Hosea chapter 2, you know, that if you don't get this, he'll take everything from you. Mm. Start crediting all these other people, you know, for your sources. We'll talk more about that in Hosea 2. But I'm excited. You're going to be really encouraged, because when you, if you've been struggling in life about this, it's because you've been hooking yourself up to somebody who cannot provide for you. But we serve a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I mean, think about that. To the young people, we serve a God who owns Pentiums galore. You know, you know, you think, you know, gadgets and whatever does all this kind of stuff. He is instant in season and out of season. More when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. What happens when the ACLJ wins a court case? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, when you pursue litigation against the ACLU, do you go after punitive damages and reimbursement of legal expenses?
Well, no, that's a great question. In some cases, you're entitled to damages. In some cases, it's just an injunction, which is you're trying to get a law declared unconstitutional. But let me give you an example. In the RICO case, the National Organization for Women with the Plaintiffs, we were awarded in that case, we'll be awarded what's called costs. Now, the costs in a case like that are six figures. I mean, it's probably, you know, deposition fees and all this, probably a couple of $100,000. So you get costs. And sometimes you do get damages. It depends on the nature of the cases. So there are times when you will get a punitive damage verdict, but that depends really on the jury.
Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening, a third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, listen, Merry Christmas to all of our viewers and our listeners. Just want to remind you, this is the season. If you haven't seen this movie yet, it's called Saving Christmas. by Kirk Cameron. I haven't seen it yet, but I hear some good reports about it. But just the very fact that, you know, he's doing something in media about remembering the joy of Christmas, you know, I encourage you to support those type of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also remember this, you know, sometimes we can be the most critical because we know some scripture or something and we see something and somebody says, well, they didn't actually, they missed the pronoun and the description is like, you know what? You know, if the girl is trying to sing, let her try.
That's,
you know,
right.
If they're beginning to move. I mean, I could see the media mountain where the church is beginning to make some significant impact. Church meaning believers, Christians are making significant impact in the media mountain. And we're just excited about that. I'm just so excited about that. Well, you know, first I want to be able to just mention, talk about the church. And when you think about church, what do you think about? I mean, think about that. I mean, what do you think about? I mean, what do you think most people think about, John, when you hear about church? They say this, they say, you know, church. What do they think about?
I think first thing that comes to mind is their building, where they meet, their location.
There's my church.
Yeah,
I cut the grass over there.
Yeah,
right. I painted that hallway. Right.
That's the new center or whatever. You know.
That's right. Yeah, my daddy gave that land for that place over there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or or sometimes it's about, you know, the organization, like this great organization that it could be called a denomination, it could be called whatever. But it's an organized effort. At one point, it was a man or a woman that said, "Yes, God." And they follow God, but then it just birthed into Four Square Church. And then it birthed into, you know, the Presbyterian denomination. Then it birthed into, but, you know, it began with just somebody, you know, and organization is not wrong. Organization is good. As a matter of fact, it's very good. And order is very good. And authority is very good. But when that trumps, you know, what God is saying. And so what we've done is, and when you look at it, think about this. According to George Barna, we spend $1.3 million per baptized believer. In other words, every person that goes into that fiberglass tank or that horse trough, depending on how you do it, or the beach, you average those numbers in, and we spend $1.3 million. Can you imagine when somebody says, we want to win 1 billion souls in the kingdom of God, that God's showing us 1 billion souls? Multiply that times $1.3 billion.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. I don't think there's that kind of money in the world. And even, I mean, we can learn so much from business people.
Yeah.
This is what they would say. This is not a good return on your investment.
No, not at all.
Have you rethought your strategy a little bit? Yeah, you went back to the original vision in the business plan, not your business plan, but the business of the Father? Jesus said, I'm about the Father's business. Did you go back to the business plan in the Bible? I mean, what did he say? I mean, after a while, you got to say, you know, we've been paying rent on this place for 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, you know, and it's not that I don't care that much about you, Bobby Joe, but, you know, we're going to have to do something here.
That's right.
Last night, I was pulled out this old, dusty business plan that we put together, or actually that we read, that God put together through the unction of his Holy Spirit as he wrote the Word of God through people, and I found that we've left our original business plan. Somehow we made it now about this product we developed to be able to help us out. And it was before we even got into this. You remember we used to meet in our living room. We were so excited and we were talking to people about God. And we were so excited. And now, and the building wasn't bad, but all of a sudden we made it about the building. And so this verbiage, all of a sudden we began to switch the verbiage from, we called the church when we were meeting together in our living room. But now we move that from being us to, now it's that building up the street. And it's not working in the context of that. I mean, it's important to have a safe place to be in. Everybody needs to be rightly related to a church, but you don't have to be rightly related to a building, to a church. You know, you don't want to be on your deathbed and, you know, say, this is what you hear quite often. You know, people, they say, you talk to them, says, you know, well, do you have a pastor? Yes, I do. I do. I do. What church do you go to? Oh, I go to the, all right. What's your pastor's name? And that's not the pastor's fault. I mean, you chose not to get close to that pastor to find out. And what happens though, when you get close to a pastor who knows God and follows God, God gets close to you and then things start happening in your life. And so we stay distant. The whole thing is the very God that you ran from that was God, that pastor was carrying in their life, the spirit of God, you're fixing to go meet him. You're going to stand in the presence of the one that you of. It's like, this shouldn't be about. It's about family. I mean, Jesus, I mean, think about this. Jesus, get into the Gospels again and read the book of John and just see how, you know, Jesus is a lover of you. He loves you. I mean, he doesn't our kind of love in regards to, you know, fleshly love, but just the heart. Like, I just want to be with you. I want to spend eternity. I mean, think about this. Mm. People are like, I don't know if you're talking about getting married, right? Mm. And they're going, they're talking to their parents. And she goes, I don't know if I want to spend the rest of my life with this man. Mm. You know, I said, Tracy, listen.
Too late.
Hold in there. You know, things will change. Now it's like, how about when you're saying, I don't know if I want to spend eternity with this Jesus. But Jesus is saying, I want to spend eternity with you as my bride. I mean, that's a powerful thing. And so it's like, okay, all right. I've got to begin to move in love. I mean, you know, Pat and I got these little armbands on to remind us of an encounter that Bob Jones had in, he's in heaven now, but he had a death experience and out of his body into the presence of heaven. And he stood before, I don't know if we have that. Hopefully we'll have that. You can find that. You can just hear Bob just describing this. But it was powerful with this video of him mm-hmm. telling it. But the big thing that God asked him was did you learn to love? Not did you learn how to administrate a building? Not did you learn how to cut the grass where your mm-hmm. building looked better than anybody else's? Not did you move from your living room to the storehouse to the stucco house? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is about the cathedral house. It's the fact, did you learn to love? Mm. And the truth is, that's probably the hardest thing that we'll ever do because, you know, when you first become a believer, I know for me, you know, I was just, you know, God forgave me of all my sins. And, you know, I was blind, but truly I could see. And I had, even though I was busy and working and doing all these different things, you know, I was a law enforcement officer at the time, that I just had this whole new life and this whole new perspective. I'll never forget sending Christmas cards out to all my family members, you know, I mean, Christmas cards, you know, and as a deputy and a young person in their 20s. But I was so excited to be able to tell everybody that this Jesus that we celebrated over these years for Christmas, I actually know him now.
Wow.
And, you know, people are calling back. Is this really? No. And, it says your life changes when you know Jesus. I mean, I was not a big reader when I got saved, but the first thing I wanted to do, I wanted to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. I wanted to read the Bible, and I picked up the simple English edition, and plus I had the other, you know, James's and all those. But I wanted to read right straight through. So I'd come home from work, and after working on a 10-hour shift in law enforcement, I'd just read the Bible. I would watch, you know, a particular a ministry that was going on at that particular time and watch hundreds of people come down to the altars or playing Just As I Am. And I would just weep over these altar calls and, you know, God was just speaking. It was just beautiful. But then, you know, all of a sudden this love gets tested, you know, and this is when people go building on people. I'm going to go building on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm, yeah. Be careful.
I'm going to go building on you. What's that mean? Is like, we're going to act like we love each other, but we're going to move this thing into a building.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
I'll pass you. Like, I'm busy, but I love you. Anyway, so, and buildings are bad. I'm just saying that the first thing you want to do is put your husband in another house up the street if you're fighting, right? So, we got to work our way through this thing. That's what Teresa told me. And so, so think about this. So then now love untested is love not genuine.
Mm.
You know, but it's great that you have this great, huge impartation of love when you get saved. I mean, it's, you know, thank God. Because Nutella.
Lord, it'd be rough.
You know, and then you start, you know, getting tested. The first test that you have is yourself. I mean, because you got your own personal sanctification that you're going to go through where you're, you know, you're saved. But your flesh ain't saved you. I mean, you got to learn how to be a disciple of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. And if nobody's discipling you, so many people are defeated at that one moment. And they don't necessarily hate you as much as they hate themselves. And that hate projects. And next thing you know, they don't love it all. And they're going like, I'm just going to go to the building. Mm. You know, do you need some help here? I'll cut the grass. Yeah. And it's like, thank you. And so then people get angry at the people in the building who went building on people, get angry at other people in the building when they tell them not to be building people. No, I'm not talking about like building people, like building them up. I'm talking about, no, we're building people. Remember, we gave up on love.
Wow, right.
And this is what happened in the beginning. So of course your love is tested. Then you go through, you know, all the things that happen to you. And then you wonder if you'll ever love again. And then God gives you a new way to love. And then that's when you find out, aha, that's love. And so, but where I learned, you know, so much about love was just family, having family of God around me, where, you know, you go through your ups and your downs and you go through seasons in your life. But when you're in the family, you're a family of believers and a disciple of Jesus Christ, then Jesus is with you in that family. Mm-hmm. And you just learn about love, and you know when you're not in it, you know when it's not happening. And God is love, and not to have love in your presence and not to learn to love. We're not probably gonna have time to show, you know, Bob Jones's video, but he said, you know, he stood before the throne of God, and I think it was like 98% of the people that were there at judgment were in the other place.
Yeah, we're in the other line.
And 2% were standing before the throne of God saying, and he's asking, did you learn to love? And it's like, well, you know, I just was real religious. I was very religious, and I sang. Man, I sang lots of songs. Did you see that? I sang so many songs. You know, I did sing Stairway to Heaven once, and they all cried. But, you know, I sang. But did you love? Did you love the choir? Did you love the worship team? Did you love the pastor? Did you argue? You know what I'm thinking about? Yeah. Did you love? Mm-hmm. Because the thing about it is that if we're disciples of Jesus, and that's what we're going to talk about in a moment with Francis Chan and David Platt, is that, you know, we got to, that in itself shows that we are his disciples if we love. He says, a new commandment I give to you, love each other. By this, they will know that you're my disciple. Not because of a building, not because of an organization, not because of a billboard, not because of a marketing plan, not because you say you are, not because you have an armband on, because I'm with you, I feel the love of God. I feel the love of God. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says Visit Our Sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded within inside of me. I go, whoa. I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking, thinking, thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow.
That was the beginning. One little statement. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, it'll change your life because he is the word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Merry Christmas to all of our listeners and our viewers. We're so excited. We want to just encourage you. For those that are on the Gulf Coast, I just want to tell you that, talk to your local sheriff's department, your sheriff, your chief of police. They have some great ideas to keep you safe. We'll probably make them available, in our VFNTV.com. But also those that are listening around the nation, it's real weird, but just all of a sudden people fall prey to a lot of crime during this time. And it would just ruin your Christmas. There's some wise things to be able to do during a time like this. And hopefully we'll make some of that available to you. And so we're thinking about the church. And so David Platt and Francis Chan with the Multiply Movement and other things that they're doing for God, they begin to talk about this because, think about it. Jesus did not call us to plant churches. The very word church really means, in the Greek, the called out ones. So you have all these, imagine this, you have the ocean, and you have fish in the ocean. Then you point at a fish and you say, church. And what happens is it comes out of the water and it's on the shore. Mm-hmm. That was the church. I mean, without a suit, without a tie, without a building, without an organization. I mean, that's called out one, right?
Right.
You just call the fish out. And so when the church word, it means called out one. Now we need, God gives, gifts to the church and organizes the church, but it's still around Jesus and being his disciples. Matter of fact, listen to this. This is so important because we're called to make disciples and the church just happens. Listen to David Platt and Francis Chan.
I think so key is when we are actually making disciples, that will inevitably lead to multiplying churches. Yeah. So the New Testament, as we're reading through this, it never commands us to plant churches. Yeah. Jesus just said, make disciples. And as disciples are made, as people come to Jesus, then churches are formed.
And he starts to talk about this, and you can see this in the Multiply Movement. David's going, if just everybody that gathered together in the building, where he pastors at, made one disciple this year, just one, did what Jesus said, do, go make a disciple. He said, we'd have to build a bigger building, but we're not going to do that. We would just multiply. Mm. That's why it's called Multiply Movement. We're called to go forth and multiply. To take over with love, not with religion, with Jesus being the Lord of our life and the Lord of our gatherings and he reigning over the hearts of men and forgiving our sins. And and it's like, we got to get back again to making disciples. And the hardest thing, I'm telling you, the hardest thing that I found in America. I mean, you can do church, you can do building.
Yes, you can.
We've had thousands. We've done these different things. I mean, you can do it because people are looking for, most people go building because you left love. But you can have love in a building. You can have love in a coffee shop. You can have love in a home. But I have to tell you this. If you don't love, even though you're in a building that you change the vocabulary to and you call that your church, you're going to stand before God like Bob Jones did. And he is love. So you're going to stand before love and he will say, you know, did you love? And you go, well, you know, no. And it will look a big, long list of things that you know, we accomplished. There's one particular man that he had this encounter like that, standing before the throne room of God, and he's talking about all of his works and everything that he did, and he's just cranking it off. I mean, he was very confident in his works. And he said in this dream, and God was just looking at him. He could just see the glory of God just looking at him. And finally, he just stops because he's like, God's not even paying attention to what he's saying. And then finally, the man goes, what? You know, what are you looking at? He goes, I'm just trying to see how much of my son I see in you. Mm-hmm. How much Jesus do people see in you? It's so much easier when you realize that's what he's called us to do. But if you're thinking, I think the numbers now are what?
$1.5 million it costs right now.
Per baptized believer.
In the United States.
According to George Barna. Oh, according.
Actually, according to World Christian Trends, as they have interpretation of annual Christian mega senses, and this is what this mega senses has come out.
And so 1.5, so we're actually going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
I mean, how defeating is that to a John the Baptist that God did call from his mother's womb to do what God has said? And it's interesting, too, is that all of the building folks went out to go meet him in the wilderness to be baptized.
Yeah.
And the leaders of the organized religion just couldn't swallow the simplicity of him saying, repent and be baptized. The time is at hand. If you don't bear fruit in keeping with your repentance, he said, the axe is laid at the roots. And it is. I'm telling you, I really believe that we have a lot of good intentions, but these good intentions, we end up building things that all of a sudden there's so many people living for that thing you built. And at one time you loved people, but you don't have time to love them. Now you're trying to fuel this new wing onto the whatever just for people to meet once or twice. So what are you doing? It'd be better for all of that to go and to love the people that are there and teach the people to love. Love God, love others, and lead others the same. I know that, you know, Pat and I were just up in South Carolina with Rick Joyner at Morningstar Ministries. And, you know, what we're hearing and what he's saying as well, so it's not just us, that this non-loving aspect of us will not survive what's happening, what's about to come. The only thing that's going to hold us together is love. Is true connectivity and love. And there's a lot of people, like I said, that they hook themselves up to what they perceive as the church and they draw resources from it and they suck it dry. And I'm talking about that, those folks. I'm talking about the folks that are laying down their life for you, the ones that just jump up and, you know, pour you a cup of coffee and ask you how your day's going. And that's Jesus talking to you through that person. Because whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do. Don't take that for granted. At least this is a beautiful thing. I think about a friend of ours, Mike Berry. And here he's a leader down in Florida in District 1 school district, I believe, or DJJ.
DJJ.
Department of Juvenile Justice. And here he was the leader. You know, he had more hair. But he was the leader, you know, and he's probably about 6'4", something that, 6'5". And, but he would walk into a room of people he was leading and he'd be the first one pouring coffee and ask him how their day was. He wouldn't take a chair, right?
Let me tell you about Mike Berry, because I used to work for him. I gave my life to the Lord. And the first person who helped me out at the altar, who was just ministering to me, was his wife. And she said, you need to come to, a little Bible study we're having, discipleship type thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, sure. So I meet him, and I'm talking with him. And very nice man, very humble. And he knew I was in college at the time, and I was graduating. And I didn't know this, but he sent me over to go speak to a person in the Department of Juvenile Justice. And lo and behold, I walked out of there with a job.
Oh, wow.
And he gave me my very first job. And what's so awesome about that is that, you know, we'd be at all these big, big meetings. And he was, you know, the big guy in charge. He was the head person. And everyone's looking for the leader. He's back there serving coffee and helping people out. And you just never assuming, very loving. And he was an excellent just example. I was a young believer, and I really appreciated everything he did for me. He gave me letters of recommendation, everything to pursue ministry and different things like that. And but he lived it. He walked it out, and that was powerful.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking right here. You can go online, and you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the Pensacola Next Step Outbacks Father Son Camping Trips. You can see Mike Berry, even in his off time.
Yeah.
We had thousands of fathers and sons and mentors and fatherless sons, and he came out there along with Tony Schumo and
That's
others
right.
there to be able to cook hamburger. They stood around a grill, loving on all these young folks.
Yeah.
Looking for no glory. They just hung around that smoky grill all day.
That's
with
right.
Tony Schumo,
yeah.
Mike
yeah.
Berry,
yeah.
and others too. I'm sorry if I can't remember your name right now. But those are the leaders in the city mm-hmm. over the Department of Juvenile Justice.
That's right.
Now think about, and what he was imitating Jesus, and he does. And so now imagine two Mike Berries. Mm. Imagine if your whole fellowship said, you know what? We're going to go into our workplace and we're going to pour coffee. We're not going to gossip around the water fountain or the coffee pot. You know, we're going to find out the vision of our company and we're going to support. We're just going to serve here. We're not going to just like, you need Jesus. And like, we're going to show them Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be a disciple of Jesus
that's
Christ.
Right.
When we walk through that workplace, people are going to come to us the way they came to Jesus. And we're going to tell them that that's Jesus. And I want to encourage you today, you know, as we go to a break, I want to encourage you that you will lose that whole defeated mindset about following and obeying God when you understand it got twisted somewhere. But if you go back to the business plan, the original, because a business plan, what you do when you start a business, supposed to, is write a business plan and project for the next 5 years or so. Well, God put down a business plan. It's called the Father's business. Jesus says, I've got to be about the Father's business. And he not only projected 5 years, but he projected to eternity. Wow. And you got to pick up God's business plan again. The Father's business. I'm not talking about world business. And understand he talks about every aspect of life. And be willing to let everything go and say, you know what? I got to have God. I've got to enjoy this thing again. And I got to get to the place that I love again. And you will, when you get rid of all that stuff that demands your emotions and your attention and your physical investment, then you begin to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, not the building of the organization with your heart, mind, and strength. You'll find out you'll enjoy it again. And guess what? You will be a disciple. And guess what? They will make disciples. Back in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Speaking of that, I am hungry this morning. I don't know what it is.
But don't forget, you found what you lost before. Just keep it going. Keep it going. You're doing good.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. I'm reminding you.
Well, you know, I did. I had my my shake this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, I kind of.
Some of it.
That's coffee.
Oh.
He mixes chocolate and coffee.
I can't tell the difference.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I went to a darker cocoa. I had this one cocoa. It's like a big. I remember my grandmother years ago. You know, she was cooking and she had this cocoa. You know, and as a kid, you're thinking, you know, Nestle's. A mix or whatever you make chocolate milk with or something. Mm-hmm. There was a day you actually had to take the powder out of a can and put it in your milk and stir it. Now you just buy it already made up. Isn't that amazing?
Right.
Anyway, so you had this cocoa and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, and she's making a cake or something. And I'm looking over there and she's only like 4 foot something. But I'm like, man, that was like 4 foot of meanness because she said she's sweet as
wow.
she can be. She's sweet. She was a welder, by the way, in the ship and during the war.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she helped build ships because the men were over fighting wars, so she was a welder during that time.
Wow.
And she, you know, she's small. And, you know, I may have done this myself as an adult. But anyway, I said, oh, that looks so good. And so she gets a big tablespoon. It was probably a teaspoon. You probably got to fit my, it's a tablespoon, a teaspoon, a spoon, whole heaping spoonful of cocoa and puts it in my mouth.
And I'm thinking, this is going to be
great.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm like, oh, this is dirt. Actually, my grandfather chewed snuff. I'm like, this is like snuff. This is terrible. I'm like gagging and throwing.
Yeah, you're coughing up.
You're coughing all this stuff up. And it's like, yes, exactly. And then she just looked at me, just kind of smiled. You know, I didn't realize at that time that was evil.
Yeah, right.
And then she said, don't use wire hangers. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She was sweet as she can be. Sweet as she can be.
Oh, holy night, and the stars are brightly shining.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Merry Christmas to all of our viewers and listeners out there. We're just honored to be able to be here with you, VFN TV. Just want to remind you the reason for the season is we're moving into a time that we're celebrating the birth of God
yes.
on earth. I mean, think about it. God was going to make himself known through his son being born in a barn. Humility of God. And it's like, it's one thing we could think about when we're thinking about Christmas this year is just think about, you know, Lord, I just want to be humble. You know, if you came down and you were born in a manger and you trusted the Father and how he was going to lead you out, and he did, he orchestrated everything for Jesus, you know, that humility, think about that, total dependency on God and respect for other people. And it's the opposite of pride. Just want to say Merry Christmas to you, and we're just praying a blessing over all of our viewers and listeners, and we just want to remember this reason for this season. What's happening with the fatherless, the homeless children?
You know, just right on the heels of what you're saying, we have so much to be thankful and grateful for, but today, according to new data that's being revealed, it's being revealed that 2.5 million children right now are homeless. And in the United States, this is according to the U.S. Department of Education and Census Bureau. We're going to make this related for you on the torch. But, you know, this is how many of us really think that there's homeless children in America? We may see homeless people from here, you know, as we travel. But this article details that there's millions now, 2.5 million children that are living in shelters. They're living in cars. They're living in places that you may not even want to put a dog in. You know what I mean? Just horrible. And they say one of the biggest contributing factors is, you know, a single parent, a mother who's raising children by herself. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of really underscores to me as just we pray for family often and we're supportive of the family the way God intended it, how important it is for families to remain and stick together and pursue what God says family is all about. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, a lot of the problems that we're seeing in society really is because we've turned away, someone turned away from God's original intent. And we can help those, we can avoid future problems, but we can also help those who are in need today. And so during this season that we're entering in, you know, look for those opportunities where you can bless people. Look for those opportunities, because a lot of times you'll find that there are many homeless people that we have this paradigm, this mindset that we think that a homeless person or homeless child maybe is going to be only on the side of the road. They're only going to be, you know, maybe dirty or something like that. There's a lot of people that are working, but they're going back to their car. There's a lot of people that are couch surfing. There's a lot of people that living in shelters. I remember when I was in the Bronx in New York and ministering out there, I would walk past a building and someone would tell me, see that building there? That's an entire homeless shelter, a place where women and children are the complete building. Mm-hmm. And that happens in bigger cities, but it happens all across the cities in America. And so we want to encourage you to look with the eyes of the Lord. Oftentimes, you know, when we get in a car, we're going about our business, we're going about our day, and we're just looking from A to B. Got to get to the store, got to get to this place. And we're not looking at our surroundings. We're not looking at people. We're not seeing with the eyes of God, how is that person really doing? And it's amazing when we practice that, when we just, you know, really engage ourselves and being able to look for those opportunities where we can look for people who are in need, people that need help, a kind word, and you'll be surprised what you'll find. You'll find that maybe this person's homeless. Mm-hmm. Maybe this child needs something. Maybe this person, you know, is suffering from an illness. And we're going to have more of these related statistics for you so that you can look at it, you know, yourself and make sure this is on the torch. But again, 2.5 million children living homeless. And we talked about it on a separate segment of VFN TV about the fragility of life and in Nevada, how that concrete slab that used to be a military base, they took every single building off of it and just left the concrete slabs. And the homeless people from all around that area were putting their tents and putting their RVs there just to survive and make it. And so this season, let's remember all the blessings that we have. Let's be grateful to the Lord for what we have instead of complaining maybe about what we don't have. That tends to be, you know, something that's easy for some of us to do, but we need to focus on how much God has blessed us and what we can do personally to touch one life. Imagine if just every person, really, and young or old, because you can train your children to do this. I mean, you can really empower, give your children vision, not just to think about themselves, but to look in the greater context of so many people that are in great need. If we're just worried about ourselves, we're not walking in the love of God. But when we start looking and seeing ourselves as a global Christian, as a Christian that's affecting my community, my city, my neighborhood, then we begin to take ownership and we begin to say, well, what can I do to be part of the solution? Mm. What can I do to help? And that's where, you know, being the Lord's hands and feet, walking in practical ways, sharing the love of God, we can meet natural needs by just being loving, caring, and most of all, looking for opportunities to bless others. Mm-hmm. So let's keep those 2.5 million homeless children in our prayers and believe that they're going to get, you know, the housing and things that they need.
You know, and there's one thing about praying that needs are met, but if you're really sincerely praying, you'll find out God will make you part of the answer.
Yes. Mm. I think that's why he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers.
He'll send out workers.
You'll realize, I guess you're sending me to be the worker, right?
Right, right. Because we're all called to do that. But to think about it, just I think about Coach McCartney and his friend. They're riding on the road, and they saw a problem. Mm. They saw that men did not have vital relationships. They didn't have vital relationships with a few other men to help them to sustain some key promises that we needed to sustain. So two men said, okay, let's do something about it. And so they got a few guys together, and about 40 people showed up. And they thought, this is pretty good. This is pretty good. They all agreed to it. And then they said, you know what? We can just, I know what we'll do. Let's meet again next year. And what happened with two men just having this conversation like we're having right now? Mm-hmm. They became part of the solution. God birthed because they saw the need. They had the burden. They took the step. They prayed, but they acted. And that's where Promise Keepers was formed.
Wow.
It was formed out of not only just having a concern like we're talking about for the homeless. But you know what? Begin to believe God that he can use you to build houses. You know, Habitat for Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
Habitat for Humanity.
Good.
But bless the Habitat for Humanity. You know, getting involved. That when you begin to pray, say, God, show me how I can be a part. Maybe joining Habitat for Humanity. Maybe, you know, getting your gathering together, put a roof on somebody's house, and they can get back in it again when there's no water coming in. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. But see yourself as part of the answer. It began with two guys, Rod Tuman, seeing the problem, praying about it, and beginning to act on it. And next thing you know, stadiums around the United States and the world will fill with thousands of men crying out to God, singing awesome, awesome songs. That's how the Promise Keepers movement began. What's going to begin? What kind of movement's going to begin inside of you when you say yes to God?
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.